Amen. I apologize if it sounds like I'm lisping. I'm having some extensive long overdue dental work done. And so I have a partial that I'm not used to. So while my body's getting used to it, sometimes it sounds funny. It's okay to laugh. I'm not offended. What you laughing about? No, I'm kidding. Turn with me, please, to 2 Corinthians 5. This is the scripture God has me focusing on with you so far this year. And this is verses 2 Corinthians 5:17 in the New King James Version. It reads, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." See, there is this question that we keep being asked. And it's not necessarily that we're always asked with words. Most of the time, this question is asked through circumstances. And the question is, who are you?
Right.
That's what it is. Who are you? I don't mind. Well, if I were to ask the question in here right now, I would probably get all spiritual answers, especially because of what the Holy Ghost did for us today. So the problem's not when we're in here. But in a short while, you're going to be dismissed out of here. And you're going to go out there. And out there, the world is waiting for you. And they're armed and ready to do everything they can to cause you to redefine who you are. They want to redefine. That's what the Equality Act is trying to do. It's trying to get you to redefine who you are. See, the world doesn't have a problem with us saying we're new creatures in Christ. Well, they don't have a problem with us saying we're new creatures, because they say they're new creatures. You know, they used to be male, now they're female. They just don't want us to say in Christ, because that means something different. So they want to get us to jump off the horse. Because if as long as we stay on the horse, there's opposition to who they want to be. Because God said he wants all men saved and to come into the knowledge of the truth. The world wants to be saved. They don't want to go to hell, but they don't want the knowledge of the truth. You know what? I was going to say, because once they hear it, now they're accountable to do it. And once they hear the truth, they'll know if they continue their present course, it's going to lead them right to hell. So, like I said, we're not staying here. We're in a series. I didn't know what it was going to become, but you know, the guys, they need a series so they can properly catalog things. And I never know what it was. I just hear what God says and write it down and come and share with you. But he gave me a series that's You Are Who God Says You Are. And today's message title is called Defined by God. I looked up the word define, and it means to determine or identify the essential qualities or meanings of something or someone. It means to create with established rules and parameters. It means to fix or mark the limits. Like, you know, this is your area is defined. You can't go past these limits. It means you make a distinct, clear, or detailed outline of your character. All that, it's defined. Redefined means you re-examine or you re-evaluate with the purpose of changing. That's the only reason why you redefine. And the world is trying, wants us to redefine who we are. And that in itself is not bad. The problem, folks, is that we're allowing them to do it. And the reason we're allowing them to do it is because we enjoy it. I've said this a number of times. You don't pray against things you enjoy doing. You don't pray against it. I don't pray against ice cream sundaes. I don't. Because I enjoy eating them. You don't pray against, you know, some of the producers of some of these programs and things that are on television because we enjoy watching them. We talk about them when we go out to lunch or dinner. You talk about the latest episode of whatever. You know, and we think it's okay. I'm thinking, do we really think it's okay? Because nobody talks about it in my presence. But the world wants us to think that being in Christ is meaningless. And they've gone as far as to even defining generations. I was looking, they said there's six generations that are alive on this planet. And all of them have characteristics. And there's the GI generation. I'm not going to tell you the age groups, but then they have a generation that was called the mature silence. The baby boomers. You hear about that a lot. Okay. There's so much about Generation X. Generation Y or the millennials. I have a big problem with that one. Not with the generation. With the characteristic of the generation as defined by the world. Because that's the one, there's more conflict between baby boomers and millennials than there are between any other two generations. And it's all because of things the world has said, this is what baby boomers are and believe, and this is what the millennials are and believe. And people buy into it and allow themselves to be defined by what someone says and not by what God says. But the people defining these generations didn't know you before you were formed in your mother's womb. God did. And God said that the generations are supposed to work together. The older is supposed to teach the younger. I mean, they need our wisdom. We need their energy. I tell you, I don't get upset that I don't have a 40-inch vertical leap anymore. If I need something that's 40 inches high, I'll get one of the young people to jump up and get that for me. I don't need to run as fast as I need. If I need to, I'll get my granddaughter to me and catch that for me. So you can do the 440 in 60 seconds. The first year. So we need to be able to work together. And the younger generation needs to feel very comfortable coming to us for our wisdom. Not for our scolding, but for our wisdom. And we have to get rid of our prejudices. And one saying, every time I hear it, it makes me cringe. Please don't say it in my presence, you know, because I don't know how I'd like to know how I think I'd respond, but the truth is, I don't know. But I feel very comfortable saying, I hate the phrase, it is wasted on the youth. Youth is wasted on the youth. On the young. Yeah, youth. That I cringe when I hear that. Like saying, oh, God doesn't know what he's doing. You know. But it's all designed to cause division because God God wants us to work together as one, as was proven with the Tower of Babel. When the people work as one, nothing's impossible for them. And what did God do to stop them from building that temple? He confused their language so that they no longer understood each other. So if you can't communicate, then there can be no understanding. You can never get to the point of understanding. That's why too many marriages fail. The husband and wife never learn how to properly communicate. So they can't stay together. They can't get through situations because they don't know how to talk through them. So somebody jumps off the horse. They don't, and then they say they fell off. But it's very important, folks, to know who you are. It's very important to have the right definition of who you are. Because the late Dr. Cole, Edwin Lewis Cole, said something I thought was profound. It says, he said, personal philosophy determines public performance. He simply said, what you believe about yourself is going to come out. And it's going to come out in public, not in private. See, in private is where you develop your personal philosophies. And too often we allow that development to come from what we're going through and not from what God said. We need to flip the script and let our personal philosophy be based on what God has said to us, period. And we need to reject anything else. Look at Colossians 2. I'm going to share this in a couple of translations. This is the King James, and I'm going to share it in the Message and in the Passion. Verse 6 begins, as ye have therefore received Christ, Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving, not with grumping and complaining. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of this world, and not after Christ. Right now, what's being shoved in our face are philosophies and deceits after the tradition of men and after the world. Not after Christ. For in him, meaning in Christ, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. So we need to understand that we are those who are completed in Christ. You're complete. You're not incomplete, so you don't have to go out looking for anybody. First thing that happens is when you go out looking for someone, you find them. You find them. And it may not be, you wind up mounting the wrong horse. Okay. The Message Bible says, my counsel for you is simple and straightforward. Just go ahead with what you've been given. You received Christ Jesus the Master, now live him. You're deeply rooted in him. You're well constructed upon him. You've been taught. School's out. Quit studying the subject and start living it. School's out. Stop studying. Start living it. And let your living spill over into thanksgiving. I like the way the Message Bible puts this next part. Watch out for people who try to dazzle you with big words and intellectual double talk. There was a saying, and when I was in sales, they said, you have to understand something. If you can't baffle them with brilliance, dazzle them with nonsense. Oh, they didn't say nonsense. Right. I can't say what they said anymore. Watch out for people who try to dazzle you with big words and intellectual double talk. They want to drag you off into endless arguments that never amount to anything. They spread their ideas through the empty traditions of human beings and the empty superstitions of spirit beings. But that's not the way of Christ. Everything of God gets expressed in Christ. So you can see it, so you can see and hear him clearly. You don't need a telescope, a microscope, or a horoscope to realize the fullness of Christ and the emptiness of the universe without him. When you come to him, that fullness comes together for you, and his power extends over everything. Not some things, everything. That's who we're in Christ. And it has to mean something to us. I have to share it in the Passion Translation. In the same way you received Jesus our Lord and Messiah by faith, continue your journey of faith, progressing further into your union with him. See, we're defined and designed to go deeper, not to stay shallow, but to go deeper. Your spiritual roots go deeply into his life as you are continually infused with strength, encouraged in every way. For you are established in the faith you have absorbed and enriched by your devotion to him. Beware that no one distracts you or intimidates you in their attempt to lead you away from Christ's fullness by pretending to be full of wisdom when they're filled with endless arguments of human logic. For they operate with humanistic and clouded judgments based on the mindset of this world's system and not the anointed truth of the anointed one. See, again, the world wants to redefine who we are. And they cannot do it unless we allow it. So you got to decide what you want. Either you want to be in Christ or you want to be in the world. Those are your only two options. You can't do both. God's not confused. In Genesis 1:26, he said, "Let us make man in our own image and after our likeness, and let them have dominion." Right there, God is defining us as someone who dominates, not as someone who is dominated. He said, "Let us have dominion." And then in verse 27, it says, "God created man in his own image, in the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them." So God is the one that determined, I'm going to have two groups of people. These are going to be males. These are going to be females. And the reason I need males and females is because I need them to be fruitful and multiply. And if I put two males together, they can't multiply. If I put two females together, they can't multiply. One times one is one, two times two is, that's the only multiplication they'll be able to do. There has to be a man or male, and there has to be a female. God knew that in the beginning. And God blessed them. And again, he told them, have dominion. So he already told us who we are. We're his man or his woman. And the job he gave us is to keep the garden, protect it, and to multiply and replenish the earth. So this worldly concept, if you're a female, say, you don't need no man. Well, you can't fulfill God's command. He said, be fruitful and multiply. You know, we're not, who are our science folks? Those tree frogs that can just change their gender. You know, that's what human beings want to do. They want to just change their gender. You say, well, I was born a male, but God made a mistake. Medical science can change me. Yeah, but the Spirit got several years ago. I had gallbladder surgery, where they don't go in and fix your gallbladder. They take it out. They say to you, you don't need this. You find out after that you really do. But they take it out. They say, you don't need this. And then after they take it out, they start telling you all the things you can't do anymore because they took it out. And I'm like, I thought I didn't need it. Right? But here's the problem. I was still having gallbladder attacks after they removed my gallbladder. And the doctor said, the reason that's happening is because your brain does not know that the gallbladder is no longer there. So it keeps calling for it to work. And if it's not there, it can't work. And so your body's trying to compensate for it. That's why they tell you eat a low-fat diet, because otherwise it's going to be pumping bile in because there's nothing there to regulate it. But the world said I didn't need that. They could take it out. They could change it. They could fix me. At what cost? At what cost? Well, I'm not happy with who God made me or how God made me. Well, there's a solution for that. You know what it's called? Doing what he made you to do. The reason you're not happy, the reason you're not content is you're not doing what God called you to do. We were all created, since the Bible says, before we were formed in our mother's womb, he knew all about us. Before we saw the light of day, he called us. He gave us a calling. He gave us a job to do once we came out of the womb. So that means our peace, our comfort, our prosperity will be found while we're doing what God tells us to do. If we're not doing what God tells us to do, we're going to find ourselves miserable, unhappy with who we are and where we are, and mad at God. And we start saying things like, well, you know, God made a mistake. We start believing lies because the lies stroke our emotions and cause us to forget the truth. And we make a choice to redefine ourselves and not go with God's definition. John 3:16 tells us in the Passion Translation, this is how much God loved the world. He gave his son, his one and only unique son as a gift. So now everyone who believes in him will never perish but have everlasting life. God didn't send his son into the world to judge or condemn the world, but to be its savior and to rescue it. It's just that simple. God, so they say, God doesn't love you. Well, the Bible says that that's a lie. God does love you so much that he sent his son to rescue you because Adam and Eve fell off the horse. They fell off the horse. And God could have left them lying on the track, but he didn't. He came up with another plan. He'll send his son so that all might be saved. And all we have to do is receive his son, become a new creature in Christ, and then all of the promises of God to us are yea and amen again. We're back on the horse, back in the race. Made stronger, because the Bible says that now Jesus was the mediator of a better covenant established on better promises. So now there are things put in place that can hold you in place if you let it. And we have to get in a position where we start letting God's provisions do what they were sent here to do. Galatians 4, I'm going to say this and I'm going to share some things with you about who we are, and I'm going to quit. But Galatians 4, in the Contemporary English Version, says, "But when the time was right, God sent his son, and a woman gave birth to him. His son obeyed the law so he could set us free from the law and we could become God's children." We could become who? Right. "Now that we are his children, God has sent the spirit of his son into our hearts, and his spirit tells us that God is our father." God is our father. It gives us an identity. God is our father. You are no longer slaves. You are God's children, and you will be given what he has promised. And we can put in parentheses, as long as you stay on the horse. You will be given. Didn't say you'll have to earn it. Said you will be given what he promised. Why? Because God defined you as his child. And this is only available to his children. So if we allow ourselves to be redefined, we no longer have access to what he promised us. I can't imagine if you know, if you have an inheritance, you know, a relative left you $10 million. We don't hear anything else after that. Yeah, oh yeah. Mm-hmm. In our heads, we already have it spent. I know just what I'm going to do. First thing I'm going to go do is go to Lottery Dream Homes. No, but he's given you, you have this inheritance, and all you have to do is stay in the family, and it's yours. But you start looking at life outside the family. You're thinking, but it's more fun over there. But you have this inheritance that's yours. Yeah, but I want to have fun. You can have a whole lot of fun with $10 million. I mean, after you tithe on it, you still have a lot of money left. You do. But you give it up, you give it away, because you don't want to identify with being a member of this family and being eligible to receive this inheritance. You rather believe a lie. Now that's just dumb. Well, let's call it what it is. That's not dumb, that's stupid. And some of us have made some stupid choices, myself included. But that's why Romans 12 tells us that our minds need to be transformed. It says the renewing of your mind. Renewing, ing, continual action. That means I can't say, well, okay, I think my mind is renewed enough for this week. No, every single day, all day, I have to keep renewing my mind, because different circumstances, different situations, different challenges pop up all day. Every single day, something comes up, and I need God's wisdom. I can't afford to have an old mind. I need a renewed mind. And the only way I'm going to renew my mind, if I understand that I'm defined by God as his child. And as that song says, I am chosen, not forsaken. I am who he says I am. That he's for me, not against me. It's very important to understand that part. that God is for you. I mean, the Bible tells us, if God is for us, who can be against us? There is no one. Why would I give that up? Because if I redefine myself, I give that up. I give up. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. That means any weapon formed against me will prosper. But I'll have fun. It's like, folks, it's like jumping out of a 10-story window. The ride down may be fun, but that sudden stop just kills you. That's what it's like. You're in a free fall. The devil doesn't tell you that eventually it's going to end suddenly. We think we can just, then just land and just come to a nice pillow stop. No, he's going to smash you into the ground and then parade you. Yeah, this is someone that trusted in God. The world's not going to know that you stopped trusting. They're going to go with what you said before it happened. Yeah, my God shall supply all my need. Yeah, well, why didn't he give you air brakes? You shouldn't have jumped. But these are some of the things who God says we are. And I mean, and none of this is new. We've been talking about these. We call them the I Am scriptures. We've been doing them. You were in LCA. We've been talking about these scriptures. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. I'm redeemed from the hand of the enemy. It's Psalms 107. I'm just going to read them. I'm not going to give you the scripture verse. Look them up and go to Bible Gateway. Look them up. I'm forgiven. I'm saved by grace through faith. I'm justified and sanctified. I'm a new creature. I'm a partaker of his divine nature. I'm redeemed from the curse of the law and delivered from the powers of darkness. I'm led by the Spirit of God. I'm a son of God, kept in safety wherever I go. That's how I'm defined by God. I'm getting all my needs met by Jesus and casting all my cares on Jesus. And guess what? I'm strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And I'm doing all things through Christ who strengthens me. I'm an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus. I'm an heir to the blessings of Abraham. I'm observing and doing the Lord's commandments, so I'm blessed coming in and blessed going out. I'm an heir of eternal life. I'm blessed with all spiritual blessings. I'm healed by his stripes, and I exercise my authority over the enemy. I'm above only and not beneath. I'm more than a conqueror. I'm establishing God's word here on this earth. I overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony, and I'm daily overcoming the devil. And guess what? You know what else? I'm not moved by what I see. I'm walking by faith, not by sight. And I'm casting down vain imaginations. I'm bringing every thought into captivity. So when the thought comes in that I'm not who God says I am, I bring that captive. I'm being transformed by the renewing of my mind. I'm a laborer together with God. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. I'm an imitator of Jesus. I am the light of the world, and I'm always blessing and praising the Lord with my mouth. That's who I am. That's what defines me. And it's based on what God said and not what anybody else said. Folks, you have to understand who you are. And you have to understand who said you are who you are. See, people, we always get upset. Especially when we were younger. Anybody other than me ever get in a fight because someone called you a name? Right? And today they said they're calling me out my name. Hey, just because you call me doesn't mean I have to respond to it. Because if it's not, because if you call me outside my name, obviously you ain't talking to me. So I don't have an obligation to respond to you. I can choose to go on about my business. And the only reason I can choose to do that now is because I've allowed myself to be defined by God and not people. There was a time in my life when I allowed people to define who I was, and I acted like it. And more times than not, when I acted like it, they're sorry they gave me that definition. Because if I believe it, then I go after it. My wife will tell you, you can ask her, she'll tell you. She said, I can describe my husband in two words. Pit bull. That's what she said. She said, and no one can cause him to let go unless the pastor say, all right, you can let it go. Then I let it go. I mean, that's... And then she told him something else. She said, he'll outlast you. That's what she told him. So why'd she tell him that? Well, there were folks who were coming to her trying to get me to do things opposite of the way I was instructed by the pastors. When the pastor said, this is the way we want this handled, and it wasn't going anywhere. That's what we did. People left. See ya. We won't come to youth fellowship anymore. That means I get to spend Fridays with my wife in prayer. And they were like, well, that didn't work. But we wound up, when everybody got on board, we had a blast. And people learned things and had fun. But you can't cave in just because pressure comes. Amen. We were made to, doesn't the Bible say, having done all, stand? But how can, what's the prerequisite to standing? Having done all. So first we have to make sure that we're doing what we were called to do. And once we're sure we're in that song, I'm at the right place, and it's the right time. I don't want to be at the right place, because there's no way to be in the right place at the wrong time. If it's the wrong time, you're in the wrong place, because you're not supposed to be there. You know, but if I don't concern myself with accusations, because I'm always where I'm supposed to be, doing what I'm supposed to do, so people can say whatever they want. You know, if they can put in the newspapers, Pastor of Redeeming Love Christian Center seen leaving a brothel in Nevada on May 19th. You know, I'm where I'm supposed to be. I won't even read it. What are you going to do about that? Nothing. Why do I need to waste my time, take myself away from what God told me to do? I learned early on, just be innocent. Right. Now, I'm not standing in front of you saying, I never have any contrary thoughts. I never have any contrary feelings. That I have no temptations. I'm not saying that. I'm telling you, I have contrary thoughts. I have negative feelings. Yeah, and yet I have temptations that I have to deal with. But I know who I am in Christ. Amen. And because I know what defines me, I don't give in. Amen. Because it's not, giving in means I'm not who I say I am. If I'm not who I say I am, then I'm a fraud and a phony. Well, I'm not willing to be that. Amen. So when temptation comes, no, I'm not doing that. Amen. That goes against who I am in Christ. Amen. And I'm telling you, that's the only reason. Because there's some things, if I could do it and still be in Christ, I'd probably do it. Amen. Just like you. Okay? Am I telling the truth? Yep. I mean, it. But because God said no, and I'm his child, and I love him, and he said, the characteristic that defines your love for me is you obey my commandments. So no matter what, he didn't say, unless you're really tempted. He didn't say that. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. It's that simple. I love him. But that's the only thing. Do you love my Jesus? I love him. 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 Amen. That means it's done. It's finished. That defines me. I'm a lover of Jesus. That defines me. So what are you going to let define you? Are you going to be defined by circumstances? Are you going to be defined by the world? Or are you going to be defined by what God says about you in his word? I recommend you let God's word define who you are. I'm done. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We give you all the glory, all the honor, all the praise. Thank you, Father, for your definition of who we are. Because of your definition, we know we are who you say we are. And we know that we have authority over all the power of the enemy. All of it. And it's in the name of Jesus where that activates our authority. So we thank you, Lord, that we'll no longer be moved by circumstances, conditions, events happening in this world. We'll no longer be distracted by the issues of life. You knew life was going to happen, and you equipped us to handle it. You said you will not allow us to be tempted above that which we're able, but with the temptation, you will also give us a way of escape. So that means, Lord, whatever the condition is, if we're going through it, if you allowed us to go through it, it's because you know we can handle it. The problem is we don't like it and we don't want to handle it. We want it to just go away. Well, we were called to endure. You gave us your mercy, and you said your mercy endureth forever. We would not need your mercy to endure if it wasn't going to appear that circumstance were going to just draw themselves out. So it doesn't matter how long it takes, we endure because of your mercy and because of your grace. As you told the Apostle Paul, your grace is sufficient for us. So we don't allow anything to steal our joy, because your joy is our strength. So we thank you, Lord, for your definition of who we are as your children. And we thank you that the Holy Ghost will always bring to our remembrance who we are in every situation. So we'll never be left without critical information. He'll show us things to come. He'll guide us into all truth. And we'll listen. Thank you for it all, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.